The second myth regarding the Lord's Supper. Christians should come to the Lord's Supper only if they feel worthy. And I'm put in mind of another passage there from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where Paul deals with the issue of worthy reception. But first, what's behind this myth? I sense that there's more behind this myth than first meets the eye.
I think you're right. Myths sometimes contain half-truths. We've said that many times in this series. And there is, I think, something significant here. As we said a moment ago, this is the Lord's Supper. It is not simply our supper. It is sacred. It is special. It is something that we should approach with great reverence. St. Paul writes again to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Let's not lose sight of what we have, the great blessing that God has given us in this meal. Imagine how many people would flock to a church in St. Louis if it was giving away free cardinal tickets, especially as the opening of baseball season approaches. Or think of how many people have gotten to know certain churches for the great sausage dinners that the congregation hosts, or the hog roasts that it has. Well, in fact, we've got something even better than that. We've got this Supper of the Lord in which we receive Christ's own body and blood. It does no good, of course, if it is not received, though, the body and blood. And that really gets us back to the point of this question. If the sacredness of this meal scares us off from it so that we never receive it, that's not at all what Christ was wanting or what Paul was exhorting.
So then let's look at those verses that I mentioned before. 1 Corinthians 11, and we're following the verses where Paul repeats again what we call the words of institution of Christ regarding the Lord's Supper, Christ's own words. He immediately goes on to discuss the plight of the Corinthians in not receiving the Lord's Supper worthily. What does he say there?
Actually, he brings up the Lord's Supper as part of a discussion he's kind of already opened up, because he's talking about the divisions in the church at Corinth. And one of the ways that that manifested itself is that when they came together to eat a common meal, which seems to have then culminated in the Lord's Supper, they would not wait for one another. Those who had the better foods would go ahead and start dining, and anybody who was coming late or who didn't have anything quite as good to eat was sort of left out. It's in that context that Paul recounts the institution of the Lord's Supper. And then after describing Christ's actions on the night in which he was betrayed, he goes on to say, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. They were sinning, these Corinthians, against their fellow Christians, and so they were profaning the body of Christ that was present in the Lord's Supper. And he's trying to give them a very stern warning. They're eating and drinking judgment on themselves. What they need, in this case, is repentance and faith, which includes faith in the words, this is my body. They're getting into trouble here, partly because they don't really appreciate what God has given them.
So someone's going to say, look, with Paul's warning there about an unworthy reception of the Lord's Supper of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, I might be tempted to put off communing even all the more. Is that a good idea?
Well, Christ says, do this often in remembrance of me. He institutes the Lord's Supper, obviously, with the thought in mind that Christians are going to receive it often. Again, the worthiness that Paul is talking about is the worthiness of faith. Faith that sees and understands and believes what Christ is giving us in the Lord's Supper. So worthiness consists in faith. It's no great trick to be worthy. What Paul's trying to warn the Corinthians is not to deny what they say they believe.
So if someone says, Ken, I've sinned too much. I'm too big a sinner to go to the Lord's Supper. Your response?
The Lord's Supper was instituted precisely for people who are great sinners. I mean, think about the people who are communing there. They include Peter, who within hours is going to deny his Lord. And yet Jesus wants him to take and eat and drink his body and blood.
Someone's going to say, fine, now I think I'm tracking where you're at, Ken, but I still would like to know, kind of in a practical sense, I don't want to go unprepared. I don't want to just waltz up to this thing as though I were buying a newspaper off the street. Is there anything a Christian can do to prepare for the reception of the Lord's Supper?
Well, and of course, Paul said in the passage we just quoted, let a man examine himself. One of the things that we can certainly do is to think about our sins and meditate about Christ, our Savior, during the confession of sins at the beginning of the service. We can go further than that, though. We can think about the burden of our sin and the blessing of Christ already before church starts, on the way to church. We can sit down the night before with the Ten Commandments, with the kind of devotional aids that we have in the small catechism, and we can think, confess our sins to God, and pray. And, of course, we can go to private confession. I know you've got the Book of the Month this month talks about the practice of private confession and absolution, which is not necessarily to be associated with the Lord's Supper, but it's not a bad thing to do prior to the Lord's Supper either. So, yeah, there's a number of things that Christians can do to prepare themselves, and that is all to the good. We tend in our society, where we get so busy, to undervalue instead of overvaluing the admonition of Paul to examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves to see whether we're sorry for our sins, whether we believe in our Savior Christ and his words instituting the sacrament, this is my body, this is my blood, and whether we plan with the help of the Holy Spirit to change our sinful lives. That's basically what self-examination has to consist in.